Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well, well, well. We are on day what, five?
We're one fifth of the way through.
We are. So welcome, welcome, welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Yay.
I'm feeling a little worse for the wear, I'm not going to lie. But it's okay.
Because of the movie or because of the day?
Yeah, because of the movies. The movies. So I feel like you guys out there in listening land owe us a huge, huge thank you for watching these for you. So today's delight was a California Christmas.
Correct. I mean, I'll fall on this grenade. It was the ball was put in my court.
Yes, and this is what he chose. So I think I'm going to start from now on by just rattling off before we get into even the like the plot. What are the tropes that have made their way into any particular
movie? It's our
movie.
Podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, we can. So I'm going to say the wise young child made an appearance.
Yes.
The I hate you first and then I love you.
That in spades.
Yeah, in spades. Also, it's the angry female, you know, yep. Right?
And jealous person.
Jealous people. The unexplained town Christmas party at the end. Arbitrary deadlines.
Yep. That always fall Christmas.
Right. And family chaos. So, yeah. All right. So let's begin. We have our spoiled one, right? Because often in the whole arbitrary deadline thing, there's a spoiled person that doesn't really understand the meaning of Christmas.
Correct. And to these movies' benefit, they don't fall on a specific gender.
No. So this time it was a spoiled boy. Correct. Right? So his mom runs the country. Runs the company.
The company.
Yes. And he was born into privilege because the dad is dead.
The company, they don't actually specify what the company is, but I believe they just build warehouses.
Or maybe they build goods and they needed a warehouse to store the goods. But they're after some land is what
Correct.
They're after, yep. Right? So I don't know if you know where this is going.
But let's take a huge bet. We know that the son is immediately privileged because he wakes up
in a fancy hotel with a beautiful girl.
Right. You don't know if it's a one-night stand or if it's...
But then it's clear that it is a one-night stand because he basically tells her to order herself some room service and then run along and he'll call her and she says, no, you won't. And he won't.
He smiles says like, you got me here.
Yeah. And then his personal Jeeves, you know, whose name is
Leo.
So his like driver, man, Friday, manservant, very sophisticated butler type person.
And everyone at the hotel knows who he is. Oh, yeah. As he's walking out, he says hello to the maid and then the front desk person.
Yeah, because they know him because clearly he takes a lot of chicks there. So he gets into his car with his man Friday Leo. And
not into a car, his own motorcycle.
Oh, his own motorcycle. Okay.
Remember
circle. Yes, yeah. Motorcycle in the beautiful suit and the expensive motorcycle because that's going to come back later. And of course, is late to the big meeting at his mom's company, where he sits on the board, even though he does nothing.
Correct.
Right? Now, just like an earlier movie.
Christmas Inheritance.
He's now got to prove himself, or he's getting booted out of the company because he is a ne'er-do-well.
Correct.
Yes, he does not understand.
He has to present the landowner the contract.
Right. So they need some land, this company, to build some warehouses, and they're trying to get it from this person who's holding out. And now he's going to go off and do it. His mom even says the only thing you do well is charm women. So because this is a woman, you're going to go and you're going to charm her.
Right. So the son's name, just for reference, is Joseph.
Joseph. Now, the reason why Brendan hesitated is because he doesn't go by Joseph for most of it. But we will learn more about that later.
We'll explain that in a little bit.
But Okay, so this woman owns land. She won't sell it. They've tried everything, and now they're sending their charming, handsome, by the way, he is frickin' handsome, like out of a soap opera handsome dude. Right.
Well, I said this before, but it's a me saying it. It felt like they wanted Zac Efron, and they went to Walmart to get Zac Efron.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not to say that makes the actor ugly.
No, it's like a soap opera version, like a phony, you know, like the pretend Barbie dolls.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so he and his manservant have got their marching orders. They are going to go off to this particular farm, and
they expect it to take a couple hours at most.
He was
going to stride right in, throw the contract down, sign it, and then sign, sealed, and delivered.
But we at home knew that that was not going to happen, and that hijinks were going to ensue.
Because we still had 90 minutes left in the movie.
Right. So hijinks begin with he's asleep in the car, and Leo goes over a bump and he spills coffee on himself.
Correct.
So this begins the transformation, because he's in a million-dollar suit prior to this. But now he's going to change because he's covered in coffee and he can't meet her like this. Now, I know you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but Leo had been collecting clothes, right?
He went to a clothing drive and grabbed some both men's and women's clothes that he was going to donate.
Right? Because that's what he does. And so he just happened to have a whole trunk full of rando, like
T-shirts.
Yeah. And of course, you know, because people who donate clothes have very bad taste.
Yes.
And, you know, then our hero, Joseph, puts himself in a tacky T-shirt and some jeans. Now, they're skinny jeans, and he looks friggin' hot in them, and they make sure we see him bare-chested very early in the movie. They went for that very early.
Yep.
And then the T-shirt is skin tight.
Yep. So, well, the T-shirt cleverly says, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Yes. So it's clever. It's a graphic tee, and he looks handsome in it, despite it being ridiculous, because it's skin tight. So.
And you made the comment that he tried to pick the wedgie out of the tight jeans.
Yeah, he acted like, ooh, aren't these uncomfortable? But they were, like, super hot, and he looked super hot in them. So, he has Leo drop him off, because he doesn't want her to see the fancy car. He realizes they're out in the boonies, so maybe this outfit will serve him well. Now, I want you to think for just one moment, because out there in audience land, you're aware that something's going to happen where she doesn't know who he is or confuses him with somebody else, because that's what happens at this point in any movie.
Right.
But I want you to think for just a minute, what could it be? What could it be?
And we've kind of laid the situation as to the land, what
they
do.
Yeah, they're like out in the boonies. It's a farm. And he shows up in his ironic T-shirt and his jeans. And what is going on just as he pulls up? Brendan?
So he walks to a barn and sees that the barn has a huge crack and looks in. And we're introduced to the female lead at this point. The female lead is currently, and I'll quote Joseph, he's pulling a little cow out. He's holding onto the butt of a little cow, pulling it out of another cow's butt.
Right, because that's his idea of cow birthing. So Callie.
Yes.
Right? Callie is our lead, and she is with her hair like tousled just right,
just
up
right
in a messy ponytail.
When you're giving birth,
right,
when you're
she's
helping give
birthing
a
calf here, and it's not going well.
No.
No.
No, so, the mother cow has seemingly just decided to stop pushing.
Right. So also on scene is the younger sister, who, as you know, is the Christmas trope, wise child.
Very wise. Right?
And she immediately mistakes Joseph for the hired farmhand they're expecting to show up any day.
Right.
Because, you know, that's how things work, and what he's dressed like the hired farmhand.
Right. And the younger sister, Liz, is carrying a huge pail of water to help birth with the cow birthing. Mm-hmm. And Joseph tries to be friendly and assist. And
the next thing you know, he's yanking on a mucus-covered calf and pulling it out of the mom. And
he gets the anatomy all wrong.
Right. But he's holding a birthed calf, and and that begins his adventure. Yep. Now, this would be the time for him to tell them that he is actually from the corporation that wants to buy their land. But he doesn't, because a really brilliant idea crosses his mind. I said idea. Idea crosses his mind right at that moment.
Well, also, Callie also says, are you the hoity-toity businessman?
Right. So, she said she was expecting the hoity-toity businessman. Right, she doesn't think it's him.
And points to a shotgun and says, I'm ready for him.
Yes, yes. So at that point, he's like, she wants to shoot me, and she wants a ranch hand. So, I've got a plan. Right?
Yeah.
I've got a plan.
The gears start moving.
Yes, I'm going to be the ranch hand, and I am going to convince her from the ranch hand's point of view that she should sell the land. And then my Leo will handle the paperwork, and she'll never know who I was. Or, yeah.
So the ranch hand that they're expecting, his name is Manny.
So now we got to find Manny, right?
Yeah, so,
because Manny can't show up. What are we going to do about that?
Oh, it's established that the farmhands usually show up a day or two late.
Right.
Whereas Joseph / Manny is showing up a day early.
Yes.
So they've given us a window of a day that they can do these shenanigans.
So, I mean, of course, Leo is like the everything. He can do everything. So he's sitting somewhere drinking wine and cheese at a car wash, hanging out, waiting for his instructions. And he's this is how we know he's hoity-toity and well-educated, even though he's a manservant, because he's drinking wine and eating cheese at this truck stop or whatever.
Car wash, yeah.
So both Brendan and I are sitting there, and we're looking at the guy who's sitting next to him as he gets his instructions. Joseph says, listen, you got to hold mom off at bay. I've got this great plan. I'm going to be a farmhand here. And you are going to find the real farmhand and stop him from showing up, because they all think I'm Manny. They're calling me Manny. My name is Manny now. I'm Manny. You've got to stop the other Manny.
And as he's saying this, there's a gentleman that sits behind Leo that is inconspicuous to everyone else.
Right. And Brendan and I go, what do you want to bet that's Manny? Well, I know you're going to be surprised to hear this, but it was indeed Manny.
Yep, and we could tell because someone off to the side yells, hey, Manny, and the guy stands up and is like, hey, how's it going?
Yep, so now we're making a deal with Manny, right? Mm-hmm. Manny drives a hard bargain, though. So in order to not tell on them, he makes Leo put him up in a big fancy house.
I think $3,000 was the financial compensation.
Yep. So he gets $3,000, and now he's hanging out with Leo because they both got to stay out of sight until this whole plan comes to fruition.
Correct.
So they're in a fancy house down the street, and our hero, who's used to living with a silver spoon, is now instead in a silver bullet.
Trailer with a generator.
An Airstream, yeah, with a generator that very rarely works, of course.
The only way it does work is if he shows up without a shirt.
Right, he's going to take his shirt off and then yank the string a few times.
Then it works, yeah.
Right. We get to see him sleeping in the bed every morning with a giant plaid blanket, no clothes on. So we get our sexy morning shot.
And his 6 a.m. alarm is just this close to being a Smoke on the Water ripoff.
Yeah. So it's super sexy. So, okay. Now, here he is. He's the farmhand. Callie hates him for no reason that's explainable except he's a male. And we're starting to learn that her fiancé and her dad are both gone. We don't know how yet, but we know it was tragic.
There's a flashback, and then she's, gets kind of teary-eyed.
She gets teary-eyed. There are crosses by the side of the road. We're thinking maybe car wreck, which we later find out, yes,
true.
Car wreck. They're all in the car. She survives. Her fiancé and her dad die. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Poor thing, right? Hard life.
Yeah.
Nothing else really bad could happen to her. Oh, but it does, because her mom is dying of cancer as well.
And as we learned, she has stopped accepting chemotherapy.
Yes, she just wants to die. So it's chemo mom, hero Callie holding it all together, and wise young one Hannah helping out.
Who's also a baker.
Yeah, apparently on the side. There's a lot of side stories here. She bakes bread and they sell it in town.
Yes.
So now you might be thinking, Joseph doesn't know how to be a ranch hand. And you're right, he does not.
He does
However, he has Manny on speed dial and constantly calls him the first day for directions. I know you're not going to be shocked to hear, but by the second day, he was an accomplished ranch hand.
So, again, like the previous Christmas movies, time is a vortex.
It's flexible.
It's a guideline. Time's a guideline.
It's a vague guideline.
So, to step back, Joseph has 2 weeks to get the contract signed, mm-hmm. and we're told 14 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the only references to Christmas, by the way.
Except for the end.
For most of the movie, we don't really hear about Christmas. Right.
And again, like the other movies, time jumps are frequent and consistent. They're consistently inconsistent.
Yes. So he becomes an expert ranch hand, which starts to soften Callie's exterior.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we have met her fiance's best friend.
Oh, good old Connor.
Connor is, of course, now in love with her and pursuing her, and she keeps saying, no, we're just friends. And he does not like to take no for an answer. Consent is not his strong suit.
It seemed innocent enough in the very beginning.
But it got a little grabby.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying when he showed up at the house, it was like, hey, I want to take you out. And she's like, no. And he's like, okay. Yeah. But then it takes a
sharp right turn. Yeah, so he's a little stalkerish. And so he loves Callie. He hates Joseph. He doesn't even know who he calls him Manny, but he doesn't know who he is. But he hates him because, you know, he gets a feeling.
Oh, I just want to make a quick correction since I'm looking. The sister's name is Hannah, not Liz. Liz is the singer at the bar.
I said Hannah. Did you say Liz?
I said Liz.
I was right and he was wrong. So Hannah, yeah. So there's a singer at the bar for no real reason, except that she's a female companion of Callie. And you might be saying, what bar? Well, let me tell you. Not only does Callie keep an entire dairy farm running single-handedly.
Yes.
And wanted to continue, by the way. She's pissed that her mother hired a ranch hand, right? Because she thinks they can do it all themselves. But at night, she's a bartender.
Yeah.
Yep. Six nights a week.
Right. For an undisclosed amount of time.
Yep. Shift. We don't know. So it's a short shift. It's a long shift. We don't know because time is wiggly. And Liz sings there and is the person she confides in. So she's the only female friend we've got. And then Connor is always at the bar.
Yep.
Like getting angrily and brooding.
He's a big brooder.
He's a big brooder. So, yeah. So anyway, all of this is going on. Callie's starting to warm up to Joseph, as we all knew that she would. And, you know, right on time comes a musical montage.
Yes.
So Callie has decided to let Joseph do all the farm work now, and she's going to help her sister Hannah bake bread, because there's a big demand, I guess. The town wants lots of it.
Yeah.
So they're baking bread, he's doing farm work, and there's a musical montage where there's lots of laughing and tossing of flour in the kitchen.
I've never seen so many food fights happen in one montage.
Food fights, giggling and throwing food, and him sweating and taking his shirt off, and then back to them picnicking and gleefully laughing.
And Joseph will clean the side of a barn with a mop, and then she shoots him in the back with a hose.
With a hose, and
flirtatiously.
And then they flirtatiously put Christmas lights up. And yeah, so we get the feeling that she's loosening up, they're falling for each other, everybody's having some joy. There's several picnics, which I don't know about you, I've never really enjoyed a picnic. I don't know why. Like, there's ants. It's the ground
mosquitoes.
Is bumpy. It's the
food isn't cold.
Right. The joy that they were having at this picnic, the mom and the two daughters, was just, I think you'd have to be drunk or high to have that kind of fun at a picnic.
Right.
So maybe they were. I don't know. Maybe she had medical marijuana.
Possibly.
So in the middle of all of this, we're literally 3/4 of the way through the movie before we find out that at one part of the land, and we find this out because now Callie and Joseph are friends, so although she calls him Manny, so she's going to show him the whole farm.
Yep.
Which means she shows him the small, sort of decrepit vineyard that's at the top of their farmland.
Right. It's in a like a 15 by 15 spot.
Yeah, because somebody in their family, her grandfather, smuggled grapevines in a suitcase from France way back in the day.
There's a parasite that took down some of the best vineyards in France.
And... Yeah, but they've got these healthy ones. They've brought it across. They've planted them. And so it's a little side gig they have. They don't sell the wine. They give it to their friends.
They ferment it.
Yeah, and but we never see anybody working on the vines. Correct. We never see anybody working on wine. Lots of milking of cows and things. But the vineyard is some weird, like, addition.
Cock chasing.
Yes. And
I just had to say it.
He meant a chicken, but he just wanted to say that. So now... You might be wondering, what are Leo and the real Manny doing in the fancy house? Well, they are bonding is what they're doing.
Very much so. It becomes buddy-buddy.
Yes. So Manny is teaching the uptight, very sophisticated Leo how to play video games. And Leo is teaching Manny how to appreciate wine. And turns out Manny's got like an incredible knack.
Super palate
for being able to tell about wine. So they bond over that. So we know the wine's going to come back into the story at some point. But that's really, it was just sort of dropped in. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So Mom is pissed because Joseph has not managed to get this signed and the deadline is up.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph is ignoring her calls.
Oh my God, he's busy mucking stalls and
putting a plank of wood on a chicken coop to fix it.
Yes, and fixing up Callie's dad's motorcycle.
Oh, yes.
As a callback to his own motorcycle-ness. Yes.
Right.
Right? Because it's as if they were like, we need to keep throwing one more thing in. Now, Connor and Joseph have now gotten into a scrap over Callie. Keep in mind, Connor looks so wimpy and Joseph looks so big and strong, but Connor is supposedly the intimidating one. And
Connor's a stick figure, but he's more dusty and
we're supposed to believe he's the tough guy, but not believable at all. So they're fighting. Callie and Joseph are getting closer. There's a few almost kisses.
Yes.
Then finally, there's a couple of kisses.
Oh, they
only happen when? When do the kisses happen?
When Joseph is trying to give the contract or talk, kind of reveal himself.
Tell her the truth. Yeah, because he knows, oh my God, this is going to go badly if she finds out who I am.
Right.
Right? So he
wants to... I need to please my mom. I need to...
Well, and I need to tell the truth. So I need to come clean with Callie and we need to get her to sign this contract. But instead, they kiss every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Multiple, like, usually in movies, there's like that one big kiss. There's like four of them.
Well, it's a PG-13 movie, believe it or not.
Yeah. We'll learn about that later. Sex at the right. They have
vineyard.
They have sex at the vineyard, and they're. I mean, it's sex, and there's clothes off. The
bra.
And,
I mean, you don't see nudity,
but the bra comes off.
Bra comes off though.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a little edgy. Cause
some grinding.
Yeah, because they're up there late at night drinking wine and doing...
After her shift at the bar?
Yes. Oh, well, because he fixed the dad's motorcycle.
Right.
Which made her very happy. And then he drove her to work on the motorcycle. And then he picked her up. And of course,
into the bar. He went into the bar to have a shot. They started dancing. Mm-hmm. As Leo and real Manny were looking for them in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He dips her as they peek in, so they don't see him.
Right. So they all end up in the vineyard. Yeah, I mean, the two of them end up in the vineyard doing it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Connor's out for blood now, so he starts trying to figure out what's the deal with Joseph. And you know he's going to uncover his real identity.
Right.
In the meantime, Mom's pissed. Time is up. She's going to come do what...
He couldn't.
So she marches off to the farm. He's like, oh my God, now I get it. Why they don't want to sell the farm, because the land is like all of her memories. So he's on board with not selling it.
And this is the unraveling.
He rips up the contract.
And then in the meantime, Leo and Manny get the phone call from the mom saying that they're showing up. Meanwhile, Connor is behind them, hears the name.
Yep.
Goes on Google. Googles the Van Houten name or whatever it is.
Figures out his real identity. Tells Callie. So shit is about to go down.
Not even 4 hours later after they finished.
They've just done it.
Yeah.
Right. So Callie's pissed. So is the mom. The mom comes marching up. The son comes marching out. Joseph and is telling his mom, no way, we can't do this. They can't sell the farm. And then Callie comes up and is like, you suck. You lied to me about everything. And the mom's like, everybody sit down at the kitchen table and let me tell you exactly why you need to sell. And basically paints a very dire picture for Callie and her mom and their finances if they don't sell.
Right. Now, this was after the mom had already had that episode where they needed to go to the hospital, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there was an unexplained cancer relapse, something or other, with the mom. It made no sense at all.
Well, I think it was exposition to get they had just kissed.
Yeah.
And it was the exposition to get her away from Joseph.
Yep. And also for Joseph to be able to be the hero. So he took care of Hannah and he got the mom in the car. We never hear what actually happened. Her oxygen tube fell out of her nose. She was gasping for breath. They put it back in. They rushed her to the hospital and then they brought her out and we were like, phew, she's okay for now. Right.
Well, I mean, that kind of mutates into its own thing at the end.
Yeah. Big dramatic moment. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So we're back at the crisis, the mom, so Callie says, I need 24 hours.
Yes.
Before I sign this contract. But everybody knows it's like womp womp. There's no way
the financial amount is life changing.
They're not going to be able to keep the farm for sure. So they're all sad. But don't forget that Leo and the real Manny have discovered the wine.
Yes.
So Joseph, you know, threw him a bottle of the wine from the vineyard and they tasted it and they're in love with it and they're wine experts. So suddenly there's another person. We have no idea how they knew him or where he came from, but he's clearly an important wine man.
But believe it or not, he has a name.
What is his name?
Vicencio.
Okay. And so Vincencio is clearly on a vineyard of his own, and we don't get introduced to him at all. We just see him.
No, it just cuts to like the inside of a winery.
He's tasting the wine. He's like, hell yeah, this is that wine from those special French grapes that are dead everywhere except for the places where people smuggled vines.
Yeah.
Right?
And he does your snobby wine stuff, like twirling it, sniffing.
Yeah, twirling and sniffing. And so just in time, they rush back. They're on their way to tell Callie. So Joseph and Leo and Manny are all going to tell Callie, we've got this great idea. They are met on the road by Connor, who attempts to stop them.
Well, they meet head on.
Yes.
Car-wise.
Yes. But as often happens, the two protagonists, or the protagonist and the antagonist, have a moment of clarity where they both realize that they want the same thing for Callie, which is her happiness.
Her happiness.
So Connor's on board now. He lets them go. So you might think that he's going to run to Callie and tell the plan about the wine, because it's daytime and there's only 24 hours. So you might think that's where he goes, but it's not.
No, it becomes a weird trespassing situation.
Instead, he goes and starts tending to the vines bizarrely and arbitrarily.
Right,
because
Vicencio apparently needs to have the vineyard look
good, I guess.
Fancy?
I'm not sure. But he's up there tending the vines because, you know, now he knows about vineyards for some reason.
Yep.
And she catches him. She comes out with her shotgun. And he, please, please, just give me a moment. I'll explain. He explains. And the next thing you know, they're spending all night sprucing up the vineyard.
You don't know if it's all night, but during the night.
Yeah, during the night. And then the next day, in comes the wine expert, checks out the vineyard. I guess it passes muster.
He checks the roots.
Touches the roots and looks around, sniffs some stuff. Then he's in the barrel room, which, by the way, we were only introduced to in the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
And he finds that they've got French oak barrels, because, I mean, who wouldn't? Why not?
Right.
Tastes the wine down there. It's amazing. And immediately whips a contract out that he already has ready, offers to buy all the wine they have for a huge amount of money. We don't know what the amount is. We just know it's huge. He points to it. He writes it down and points to it. And he wants to lease the vines so that the monthly leasing fee is going to be like half of what this giant amount is. So we're clear that the farm is saved.
Yes.
Right. So the farm is saved. Now, Joseph has already left because he's like, yeah, I know she doesn't want me, but I still wanted to save her farm. cut to a final scene where the family is talking about their upcoming Christmas party, which sounds like it's going to be later in the day when they're talking about
it. Yes, you're right.
And how they're going to get stuff ready. They're baking, in the kitchen. They're baking, the three of them, the three ladies of the farmhouse. Now, they don't mention who's coming to this party. It seems like it's an annual party. They say the annual Christmas party.
Right. They had to mention that part.
For who or for what, we don't know. We just assume, well, maybe it's just their friends, like a couple of their friends. At that moment, the dying mother, who's been unable pretty much to do anything, and the very small child giggle because they have a surprise for Callie.
They certainly do.
They have in, well, I don't know, the last day or so, with, I guess, help from Connor?
Well, they're giggling, and she's like, oh, won't tell me. And they're like, well, we were thinking about throwing the Christmas party at the dairy barn.
Yeah, they've got some big old dairy barn that was her dad's workshop and is full of shite, and she hasn't been able to bring herself to clean it up because it was her dad's workshop. And it's full of shite.
Yep.
Right. So now we're like, oh, they cleaned up the dairy barn.
Yeah.
All by themselves. With a little help from Connor, who I just got on board 6 hours ago.
Moments ago.
So the shot is of this giant barn, and they open it and walk in, and it looks like it's set up for a wedding reception. There's that many tables.
Yeah, the party's already started.
The party's already started, so
there's no cars.
Right, so 5 minutes ago, the party was happening later, but now everybody's there.
Right.
Right? Connor comes walking over. We're like, oh, no, he never gives up. But no. Instead, he tells her, you really need to give him a chance, meaning Joseph. So now they're bros.
Yeah.
And
Connor walks off.
He walks off and she walks up to Joseph and she acts really like cranky and angry with him for a hot
Well, he does a dramatic. The camera's on his back and he does the dramatic turn.
Yes.
Like he knew.
He knew. And then there's a kiss. And that's pretty much where it ends. And now it's Christmas.
Yep.
Right, but
it's Northern Cal, so there's no snow.
So there's fake snow at the party that he provides for her because he thought she needed some snow.
Because I think she did say she's never seen snow before.
Right, right. But we still never learn what the party is about and who it's for and who, like, is it a whole town party? What is it? Right. We don't know.
Right. I mean, there's like 12 people in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you might think that the mother would be pissed off that the son blew the whole thing. But instead, she says she's proud of him for no real reason and then offers him his job back. But he decides to stay.
Yeah, he's happy doing it. Yeah. And then he's offered an unknown job.
Right. He's going to hang out. Right. We've learned since that there's a sequel. So yes, that should be interesting. True. But we leave it with Callie and Joseph kissing in the newly cleared out barn.
Yep.
And then there's a shot of a giant vineyard that's 25 times the size of their scrappy little vineyard. So
correct.
I guess
we're 25 times is an under.
Yeah, it was even more than that.
It's somewhere in what's the area in San Francisco?
Napa.
It's basically Napa Valley. Yeah, they just cut in Napa Valley.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just point out something here that I'm finding most of these Christmas shows are like, don't think that they're enough of a Christmas show unless they throw every single thing in there. Yes. Like, we need this, and we need a dying relative, and we need they don't trust their story enough to not have 25 million little side
correct.
Lips.
Because there's really no other... There's no other reference to Christmas outside of the name and then the last literal 2 minutes.
Well, in the musical montage where they put up Christmas decorations.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Well, there's the Christmas tree that's stuffed in the middle.
Behind a recliner. And there was Christmas decorations in the bar. So right. I do want to point out that we've really only, out of all of the five, seen like one that was super Christmassy. But they're in the Christmas, like when you look up cheesy Christmas movies, these are the ones that come up. So
Christmas Inheritance was very Christmas, heavy Christmas themed. Mm-hmm.
And then Night Before Christmas. Yeah, I guess. But I'm surprised at how much non-Christmas there is in the Christmas specials.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, piggybacking on what you said. Yeah,
so maybe if we run out, we'll watch the sequel near the end of this month. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of Christmas movies to get through.
Yeah, but rating.
Oh, a rating. I'm going to give this a 4.
That's kind of where I was. I mean, we haven't really given our guidelines as to why we're rating,
there are no guidelines. But this is just this how we feel.
It had Christmas in the name, very mm-hmm. minimal Christmas references, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it had a lot of tropes, lots and lots of tropes.
I mean, the 4 is probably specific for the Manny-Leo relationship.
Right, because I did like that. That was my favorite relationship in the whole thing. By the way, I also, the more I can guess what's going to happen and get it right, the lower my score goes. So we spend the whole time, and we should video us actually watching them, because we spend the whole time going, what do you want to bet this happens? What do you want to bet that happens? And sometimes we're wrong the whole way through. This one we were right pretty much. We called just about all of it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of why it's a 4. And I give it a 4 instead of a 3 also, because I was drinking some delicious spiked hot cocoa while I was watching. So that earned an extra point.
Agreed.
All right. Well, on that note, we have got many, many, many more movies to watch before we rest. So we should sign off now. And now you don't have to watch it. So you're welcome. And have a holly jolly day.
Yes.